Good morning. It is Wednesday, July 22nd. This is Morning Signal. Today's central question is not whether artificial intelligence demand exists. The evidence says it is still accelerating. The harder question is where the scarce inputs, pricing power, and investment returns migrate as generic model access gets cheaper.
And the answer cuts across markets, technology, geopolitics, and rates. We have 9 podcast episodes inside the verified prior 24-hour window. Every claim we discuss comes from today's written podcast brief, and we will name the source before using it. The short version is that abundant intelligence can coexist with scarce memory, power, causal data, safety validation, and skilled labor.
Let us start with excess returns, where guest Azeem Azza presented a bottom-up estimate of the artificial intelligence economy. He estimated that, excluding China, generative AI spending reached roughly $110 billion in the 12 months through June 2026, and a $175 billion annualized June run rate.
Excess Returns also reported Azza's view that the growth rate was about as high as it had been in December 2025 and roughly 3 times the pace of earlier internet, mobile, app, and advertising waves. His team tried to avoid double counting by separating end-user applications, foundation model revenue, hosting, and chip capital spending. It is a private estimate, not an audited total, but it challenges the claim that the boom is only circular capital expenditure or pilots.
The crucial distinction from excess returns is demand validation versus return validation. A large end market number can support the theme while telling us nothing about whether every lab, cloud provider, data center, turbine plant, or application earns an acceptable return. Azza used a railroad analogy: a technology can create enormous consumer surplus while providers overbuild and destroy capital.
Excess returns supplied a useful enterprise adoption marker too. Among roughly 70,000 ramp customers, median AI spending was cited near $11 per employee per month. That suggests a great deal of runway, but also shallow deployment at the median. So, the confirmation test is not license count. It is whether organizations redesign workflows and can show measurable productivity, revenue, or labor savings.
Now move one layer down the stack. Excess returns cited memory rising from about 2% of data center cost in 2021 to 18% today, in a market with 3 suppliers that is effectively sold about a year forward. Azza argued that high-bandwidth memory, rather than logic compute alone, may be the tightest hardware constraint over the next 5 to 10 years.
The real Iceman playbook reached the same bottleneck migration thesis through power. Steve Iceman's guest, Baird analyst Ben Callow, said the United States may need roughly 30 gigawatts of new generating capacity each year for the next several years. He described constraints in electricity, electricians, permitting, interconnection, and construction labor.
The real Iceman playbook also highlighted GE Vernova's gas turbine backlog extending to 2030 or 2031, with management framed as having visibility into the middle of the next decade. That visibility is attractive, but it is not the same thing as terminal return. Long order books can support pricing while customers still face fuel, permitting, ratepayer, and utilization risk.
Put those 2 episodes together, and the first portfolio signal is clear. The AI infrastructure sleeve is broader than graphics processors. High bandwidth memory, turbines, transformers, grid equipment, power electronics, and qualified construction labor may have more visible scarcity than generic model access. The falsifiers are equally concrete. Lead times collapse, cancellations outpace starts, or capacity clears without support for price and utilization.
That brings us to the inflation paradox. Thoughts on the market featured Morgan Stanley economists comparing policy across the United States, Europe, Japan, and China. Michael Gapin expects U.S. inflation to fall toward 3% by year-end 2026 and roughly 2.5% in 2027 as energy, tariff, and shelter effects fade.
Thoughts on the market said Morgan Stanley expects no Federal Reserve move this year. But Gapin identified persistent core goods inflation, renewed Middle East energy disruption, or stronger AI-linked demand as the routes to a 2026 hike. Direct AI-related consumer prices were estimated at less than 1% of the consumer basket. The bigger macro channel is stronger demand and animal spirits.
Goldman Sachs exchanges reached a similar hold conclusion. Chief U.S. economist David Merrickle expects no Fed move in 2026 and a cut in 2027. He assigned roughly 25% odds to hikes, versus his reading that markets price about 1.5 hikes, or approximately a 50-50 chance of 2 or 3.
Goldman Sachs exchanges also put numbers around the tolerance band. Merkel said monthly core personal consumption expenditure inflation around 0.2%, or slightly above, could keep the Fed patient. But policymakers are less willing to dismiss repeated supply shocks as one-offs. June consumer inflation may have been better than trend, while tariff, oil, and AI measurement effects should moderate if no new shock arrives.
Goldman's growth base case is roughly 2% U.S. GDP growth, a little below potential. Business investment offsets softer consumption, housing, and government spending. Lower immigration reduces the payroll break-even rate to about 50,000 to 60,000 jobs per month, so slower job creation does not automatically mean recession.
Goldman Sachs Exchanges also estimated that equity wealth added roughly 0.3 to 0.4 percentage point to consumption growth over the past year and could do the same over the next year. That is where AI becomes both growth positive and duration negative. Capital spending boosts investment, equities support high-income spending, and power demand can add inflation pressure.
So cheap intelligence can be disinflationary at the task level while the build-out is inflationary in equipment, electricity, and skilled labor. The market implication is uncomfortable but coherent. Software pricing pressure can coexist with an equipment supercycle and a central bank that refuses to ease.
Thoughts on the market then widen the map. Morgan Stanley expects the European Central Bank to raise its policy rate from 2.25% to 2.5% in September. Jens Eisenschmidt argued that 2.5% may still sit inside the ECB's published neutral range because fiscal expansion, resilient global demand, and political spreads matter more than an American-style AI boom.
Thoughts on the market said Chaitanya Haya expects Bank of Japan hikes in December 2026 and June 2027, fewer than the three hikes embedded in markets and the four some macro investors expect. His reason is weak domestic demand. Japanese consumption is only about 1% above its September 2019 level despite nearly 7 years passing.
On China, thoughts on the market reported second quarter growth slowing to 4.3% despite resilient exports. Ahaya expects roughly 2 trillion renminbi of already budgeted fiscal capacity to support second half infrastructure and lift growth toward 4.6%. The TIF interpretation is that actual execution matters more than another headline authorization. Watch construction and broader domestic demand.
The indicator from Planet Money added a different macro theme, Dallas and what it called Why All Street. The episode said Goldman is spending more than $500 million on a 14-story campus expected to house thousands of employees in 2028, while Dallas supplied roughly $18 million of incentives.
The indicator also said Texas now hosts more Fortune 500 headquarters than any other state and that the Texas Stock Exchange opened this month. But its backers described the build-out as additive rather than zero-sum. J.P. Morgan's simultaneous $3 billion Manhattan headquarters is the counterexample. Track finance employment, office absorption, and listing share before declaring New York displaced.
Now to the model layer. TBPN discussed Moonshot's Kimi K3 and Alibaba's Qwen 3.8 Max as evidence that inexpensive Chinese models can compete on selected benchmarks and enterprise tasks. The episode framed U.S. policy as both a security dispute and a profit pool dispute.
TBPN said OpenAI and Anthropic executives emphasize cyber and national security risks, while critics such as David Sachs and George Hotz view restrictions as potential incumbent protection. The episode also reported that China is considering limits on exporting key training data or downloadable weights, even while the United States debates restricting Chinese models.
TBPN quoted Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent supporting open source while sanctioning intellectual property theft. The TIF inference is that both governments may converge on controlled application interfaces and restricted weights for strategic models. That would favor sovereign hosting, model routing, security layers, and locally compliant deployment.
TBPN also reported that Ramp launched a model router. That fits the broader economics from excess returns. Sophisticated customers can route tasks across providers by cost, security, and performance. Open weights and switching can compress per token rents while aggregate compute use still grows. Model commoditization is not the same thing as demand destruction.
The durable moat may therefore move toward difficult to copy context. The A16Z show interviewed Applied Intuition founders Kezar Yunus and Peter Ludwig. They said roughly 70% of the company's business is already outside automotive, spanning trucks, defense, mining, agriculture, and industrial machines.
The A16Z show said Applied Intuition has more than 1,000 engineers and hundreds of petabytes of collected data. It's Dana Platform packages simulation, synthetic data, reinforcement learning, deployment, and evaluation tooling. The founders described three architectural layers: simulation and reinforcement learning infrastructure, real operating systems for machines, and autonomy, or world models.
The A16Z show made clear why physical AI is not a chatbot extension. Machines need millisecond latency, power efficiency, hardware-specific deployment, redundant steering and braking, safety cases, and statistical reliability. A better general model helps, but production engineering and verification determine whether it can touch a road, a mine, a farm, or a defense system.
The A16Z show also presented a cost aspiration. The founders expect advanced driver assistance hardware to fall from roughly $1,000 toward $500 and eventually become subsidized by automakers, with broad adoption in the late 2020s or early 2030s. Those are management aspirations, not independent forecasts. Safety, unit economics, and production adoption are the confirmation tests.
Sovereignty matters more in physical systems too. The A16Z show cited South Korea's mapping restrictions and local hesitation toward foreign robotaxi stacks. Vehicles, maps, defense systems, and industrial machines interact with public infrastructure and real-world safety, so localization and government relationships can matter as much as raw model quality.
Latent Space took the proprietary data thesis into biology. Bo Wang and C.I. Chu explained why observational single-cell data can saturate. The episode's technical notes said the CLXGNE database contains roughly 168 million cells, each mapped across 20,000 to 30,000 genes, producing a matrix of roughly 4 trillion entries.
Yet Leighton Space said observational RNA expression is highly correlated and weak at predicting what happens after a gene is perturbed. Test loss flattened after roughly 1.5 billion parameters, even as training loss improved. Increasing information content by about 30 times restored the scaling curve.
Leighton Space described Zyra's response: use CRISPR experiments to alter genes at scale and generate causal data in XAtlas, then train the XCell diffusion model. The investable claim is not that another model won a benchmark. It is that the data generation engine may improve predictions on unseen interventions.
Leighton Space's exact falsifier is prospective validation. Does performance survive unseen perturbations in real human cells? Does it improve target selection, molecule decisions, or experimental hit rates? Today's input was detailed first-party technical notes rather than a complete audio transcript, so this is the one topic where the source depth is partial.
The Vergecast offered a useful reminder that regulation can create categories as well as block them. David Pierce and Andy Hawkins examine low-speed electric vehicles from Chip Motors, Amble, and Fiat's roughly $15,000 Topolino.
The Vergecast said vehicles capped at 25 miles per hour can operate under a much lighter federal safety regime than conventional cars and are generally restricted to roads posted at 35 miles per hour or below. That enables off-the-shelf parts, contract manufacturing, smaller batteries, and lower prices when the average U.S. new car transaction was cited near $50,000.
The Vergecast's sober conclusion is that this is a second car niche in warm, lower-speed communities, not a broad replacement for pickups or highway-capable compact cars. Confirmation means repeat sales outside golf cart communities and road networks that connect homes, schools, and retail. Falsification means weak safety acceptance, no service or resale network, or roads households cannot actually use.
Across all of these episodes, regulation is not simply pro-innovation or anti-innovation. It decides which bottleneck earns a scarcity rent. Air permits and interconnection can delay data centers. A lighter vehicle category can admit new manufacturers. Mapping and defense rules can force physical AI localization. Financial governance and taxes can move jobs without moving the whole exchange network.
The most important cross-current is value capture. Excess returns validates a powerful demand direction, but it also warns that model switching and efficiency can compress rents. The real Iceman playbook validates long equipment backlogs, but permitting and project economics still matter. The A16Z show and Leighton Space point toward proprietary physical or causal data, but only real-world validation can convert technical promise into return.
Here is the practical watch list from today's podcast brief. For the week of July 27th, watch the next Fed meeting and communication under Chair Kevin Warsh. Goldman expects a hold but sees more market volatility risk if the Fed provides less guidance.
From Thoughts on the Market, Watch September for Morgan Stanley's expected ECB hike to 2.5%, then December 2026 and June 2027 for its expected Bank of Japan moves. The key tests are fiscal impulse and spreads in Europe and wages plus consumption in Japan.
From Thoughts on the Market, watch second half China infrastructure execution against the roughly 2 trillion renminbi budget capacity. The thesis is not confirmed by an announcement. It needs actual spending and broader domestic demand improvement.
From Excess Returns, watch whether the $175 billion annualized AI spending estimate persists and whether ramp's $11 per employee median rises. Median penetration catching the frontier cohort would be stronger evidence than another headline partnership.
From Excess Returns in the Real Iceman Playbook, watch high bandwidth memory lead times, power equipment prices, order cancellations, and visibility into 2030 through 2035. These are the fastest tests of the bottleneck thesis.
From Latent Space, watch Excel on unseen perturbations in real human cells and whether predictions improve experimental decisions. From The Indicator, watch Goldman's Dallas campus target for 2028 alongside finance perils, office absorption, and Texas exchange listings.
The absence signal matters. None of today's episodes supplied audited hyperscaler AI revenue, project-level data center returns, primary high-bandwidth memory contracts, independently replicated KIMI benchmarks, or prospective clinical validation for Excel.
So today's evidence is strongest on demand direction, bottlenecks, and competitive mechanisms. It is weaker on final capital returns. That is exactly why the best formulation is not, quote, AI demand is fake or AI demand guarantees profits. It is, demand looks real, while value capture is migrating and must be underwritten layer by layer.
The portfolio takeaway is to separate abundant from scarce. Generic model access is getting cheaper and more interchangeable. Energized land, high bandwidth memory, qualified power equipment, real world data rights, causal experiments, safety validation, and organizational redesign are harder to copy.
The risk takeaway is to separate a full order book from a good investment. A supplier can have visible demand while customers overbuild. A model can win benchmarks while pricing collapses. A platform can have proprietary data while real-world validation fails. Each thesis needs its own confirmation and falsification condition.
And the macro takeaway is that AI can lower the cost of cognition while raising the cost of its physical build-out. That supports productivity in the long run, but it can also keep equipment, power, and labor tight enough to make central banks cautious now.
That is Morning Signal for Wednesday, July 22nd. Today's 9-episode brief used 8 full transcripts and 1 detailed first-party partial. The complete written briefing and source table are in the TIFF podcast brief.
We will be back tomorrow. Until then, watch the bottlenecks, watch the rate path, and keep demand validation separate from return validation.